I had one message. Listen, okay? We are here today to hear the word of the Lord. Come on now. Can I get an amen? That's not me. I'm like Joe the plumber. I'm just going to bring it to you like, you know, East Harlem style, you know, like the Puerto Rican Italian I am. It's just, this is who I am. So I had a message, and I was all pumped to share it. But then last night, the Lord said, no, I want you to share this. I want you to share this. So today, I want to leave you with four truths that I live with every day. And I'm encouraging you to live with them every day. Now, there's more than four truths. There's more than four truths. There's more than four confessions. But these are a special group of four that I hold dear to. Each day, I start with these truths. And you know when my day starts? At nighttime, when I go to bed. That's when my day starts. And the first truth that I start my day with before I close my eyes is number one, I lay in bed. I'm serious. Sometimes I'll hug myself, pretending that it's God embracing me. Okay? And I thank Him and I praise Him because I am loved.
Amen.
That's the first truth you need to go to bed with so that you can wake up with, so that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the first words out of your mouth is, Father, thank you for loving me.
Amen.
Thank you for loving me perfectly. Thank you for loving me completely. Thank you that you love me with the same love that you have for Jesus. Thank you, Zephaniah chapter 10, verse 17. You dance over me.
Yeah.
You twirl over me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine God dancing over us?
Yeah.
Twirling over us because He loves us? He cannot love us anymore. He cannot love us any less. There's nothing we can do to make Him love us any more than He does. There's nothing we can do to make Him love us any less. I'm loved.
Amen.
I go to bed just concentrating on that fact. I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. Thank you, Father, for loving me so much. You gave me Jesus. Father, thank you that you love me so much. That Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, you know, verse 23. Father, that they would know that you love them as much as you love me.
Mm-hmm.
You love me as much as you love your son.
Yeah.
That's perfect, complete, awesome, wonderful love. And you know why that's important? One of the reasons, this is just one of the many reasons. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 just came to me. Faith worketh by love. Faith is energized by love. Faith stands at attention, ready to work for you by love. So the first thing I do, the first truth I live by is I am loved. I am loved. And that receiving of that, I'm telling you, it does so much. It responds back to a love for God. You never have to worry about loving God back once you know how much He loves you. It responds back to a love to your spouse, for your children, for one another. But start each day by closing your eyes at night, concentrating on the fact that God loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Here is love. Here's love, guys. Not that we love God, but that God loves us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and 19, may we be rooted and established in the love of Christ. May we come to know the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, the length of His love for us.
Amen.
So that's number one. Number one, I'm loved. I am loved by God. I am loved by God, period. What confidence that gives. What assurance that gives. What peace that gives. Second thing, vitally important. This is tremendously important. After I meditate on how much He loves me, number two, I want to leave you with, thank you, Father, you find no fault in me.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never. He finds no fault in me, period. He finds no fault in you, period. John chapter 17, verse 22. You need to get acquainted with this prayer of Jesus. In verse 22 of John chapter 17, Jesus says, now wait, let's, Mark chapter 9 is the transfiguration. You've all read it, right? It talks about Jesus, how he shone so brightly. You know, they had to hide from him. Brilliance, majestic, majesty, transfigured. The glory that was within him was revealed. You have to get that picture. Now, in John chapter 17, verse 22, he says, Father, that we all might be one. We might be one, and we might be one with God. Jesus says, the glory you gave me, Father, I gave them. The same glory. He finds no fault in me. And do you know what the word glory means? I'm going to tell you what the word glory means. It's doxa. D-O-X-A. It means brilliance. It means majestic. It means of a supernatural ability. But you know what else it means? Of an acceptable view and opinion. The voice came down from heaven twice that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's given us his doxa. We have the same view and opinion of the Father that he had from the Father. Can he find fault in Jesus? Never. And so that's what I tell myself after I tell myself, he loves me. Thank you, he loves me. Then I tell myself, he finds no fault in me. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. For who he foreknew, he determined that they each would be conformed in the exact image, likeness, and duplicate copy of his Son, the firstborn amongst many brethren. Amen. Whom God called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. Amen. And 1 John chapter 4, 17. 1 John chapter 4, 17. Here's the perfect love. Here's the perfect love. Here's the perfect love. Finds no fault in me. Why? Because he, just like Jesus, here's the perfect love. I have boldness before my Father. I don't have to worry about judgment. Because as Jesus is, so am I. Right here, right now. You are loved. Tell yourself that every day. Go to bed with that thought. Go to bed with the thought, he finds no fault in you. Wake up with that. Wake up with that. Number three, I tell myself, I possess his perfect faith. I possess his perfect faith. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says that God has sent the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son. Everything his Son is. Everything his Son is all about. Everything his Son is in full possession of. To dwell right here. To dwell right here. And so all that he is and all that he has, all of that is in me. I possess it. I have it. His faith is in me. Faith worketh by love. He finds no fault. Faith can work. Faith can work. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And remember, Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30 again. We're just like him. We are just like him.
Amen.
Period. Fourth thing. Dang, I'm going to be a lot shorter than those two. We're almost done. Number four. You can't claim number four without claiming number one, two, and three. You won't believe number four unless you believe number one, two, and three. Number four is, I possess his same anointing.
Amen. Amen.
You possess his same anointing. You know, this is off a little bit, but I just read that it's often been said that we only use 5% of our brain. But I found out recently that that's not true. We use all of our brain, but just in little bits and pieces. But most of the brain is screwed up with screwed up thinking. That's what renewal is all about. And renewal is all about getting rid of the stinking thinking so that you can put in the right thinking.
Right.
I'm loved. There's no fault in me. I have his faith and I have his anointing. And when that has replaced everything else, I guarantee you, you're going to move in the fullness of that anointing.
Yeah.
You're going to lay your hands on the sick and they're going to recover. I'm waiting to raise the first dead person. I really am. I'm waiting to raise the first dead person. Okay? But I possess his same anointing. In Luke chapter 4:18, it says that Jesus went to the synagogue, as he always does. See, Jesus was a good Christian. He went to church to be with the family. Right? And it said when he was there, he was asked to read. And he was handed the scroll from Isaiah. And he turned to the page. He turned to the page where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel." Right? He's anointed me to free the captives. He's anointed me to bring sight to the blind.
Amen.
Right? And then after that, he closed the book. And he said, "Today, in your presence, this scripture has been fulfilled."
Amen.
The thing about that scripture is Jesus set the example for us. You have to go into the Word of God. As Jesus is, so are we. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "Behold, we look in the mirror," right? A mirror, and "see the image of the Lord. And by the Holy Spirit, we're turned into that image."
Right.
We need to go in the book and find out what it says about us and close it and say, "It's been accomplished."
Amen.
It's accomplished. You possess the same anointing. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. "The same power, Spirit, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each and every one of us."
Amen.
Period. That's what it says.
Right.
And so, hey, guess what, guys? So if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he's going to renew, revitalize, energize, restore your mortal bodies.
Right.
Same power, same Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, "that we would come to know the exceeding greatness of that power toward us who believe."
Amen.
According to that power that was wrought in Christ when it raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God. It's about our knowing. But you know when the Apostle Paul says that we would know the exceeding greatness of his power that raised Christ from the dead? Did you ever look up those words? Your Bible students, look up those words. Paul could have just said that you would know the power. That word power is dunamis, dynamite.
Yes.
But he put in front of it the words that are translated exceeding greatness. He used words like mega, megas, like a mega bomb, like the mother of all bombs, the father of all bombs. He used the word mega, right? And then he used another word, tremendous, stupendous, dunamis. This is amazing. That we would know. It's in us. It's in here. And then in chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can dare ask or think of or dream of," according to what? "The power that worketh within us."
Amen.
So those four things I charge you to keep on your heart, to keep in your soul, to keep on your lips every day. And I want to tell you something. I got a big asterisk here, because there's too much mixture. There's too much law. We need to know the difference between fallen man, who communicates a lot in the Old Testament. I don't want to pray like David prayed. "Create in me a clean heart." Wait a second. You gave me a new heart. "Remove not the Holy Spirit from me." It's beautiful. Wait, "You'll never leave me or forsake me." That's David, fallen man, not born again, not a new creation. I want to charge you with this as a new creation. This is my stand. I hope it becomes yours. I will never pray for something I already possess.
That's right.
Okay? And here's number two. Here's number two. I will never pray for God to help me to become what I already am.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's the difference between the old and the new. old nature, born again, new creation.
Yes.
So, today, my charge is, you are the hands of God. Amen. You are the eyes of God. You are God's love in this earth. So speak it, so believe it, so be his heart, eyes, hands, and go. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Praise God.